Blog Talk Radio.
Well, when I think of His grace and His mercy, just one word comes to mind, and that word is amazing. Company?
trying to live right. Picking up my cross, it's a daily fight. Some of us in the dark, so we need light. Let's talk about his word to gain insight. Too many of us lost, though we go to church. Following traditions that no longer work. Steady passing them along as if they carry worth. Christ died for our freedom, but we still hurt. Lack of knowledge got us bonded by tradition's curse. Hopefully we last, but we ain't the first. Then we judge to make matters worse. Don't hold a grudge, cause I'm in church with a wrinkled shirt.
Picking up the cross and taking our limits off. Taking our limits off. Taking our limits off. Do it for God the boss. Taking our limits off. Taking our limits off. Taking our limits off. We picking up the cross and taking our limits off. Taking our limits off. Taking our limits off. Do it for God the boss. Taking our limits off. Taking our limits.
All right, we are live. Woo, thank God. We are live, y'all. It is Wednesday, March the 7th, 2018. And Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side studios located here on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And we have an outstanding show for you today, man. Today's topic is going to be good. I hope y'all are ready for it. I know I am. Hope y'all are ready for it. Today's topic is going to be good. Y'all ready for this? Oh, man. Some churches should die and just stay dead. Oh, Lord, that's today's topic of conversation. I know it's going to be good. That's the topic of today's conversation. It's Wisdom Wednesday. As always, we always try to impart some wisdom into your over the ether waves, or over the internet, rather, as we like to say. But we like to do that, man, and it's going to be a good time today. I hope you're all ready for it. Have an open mind now. Open mind. It's not negative. It's not negative. It's just some truth and some reality about some things that we want to hit over. Amen. Amen. So we're going to enjoy this, y'all. We're going to have a good time today in the Lord. But let me give you the rundown of how you can be a part of today's show. It might be your first time listening or your first time watching. So let me give you the rundown of how you can be a part of today's show. If you're already listening on the line, simply push one and you could be a part of today's broadcast. If you're listening, but I'm on the air, you're right. if you want to be a part of today's show, oh, my God, that just really, really threw me. Let me do this, y'all. Let me take a quick break. When I come back, we'll continue with today's show. Wasn't ready for that one at all. Always something. Amen. 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 We'll be right back, y'all. TTLO.
It's the Prince of Praise, Byron Cage, with Pajam. Come on.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and everything that's within me. Come on. I will bless his name. Is there anybody in this place that is here to bless him? Let me hear you make some noise. Come on. Here we go. Set. Magnify.
Magnify the Lord with me.
Come on. Sing it to him. Sing it.
Whom the Son he has redeemed.
Come on. Set. Clap your hands. You are the Lord of everything.
You are Lord of everything.
Here we go. I will
bless the Lord.
Sing it to him. Say, bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord at all times.
How many people are doing it? Say it again.
I will bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord at all times. Oh, yeah.
Bless the Lord at all times.
How about doing the second one? For the Lord our God is great.
For the Lord our God is great.
Come on. Say, on your way.
we are back. Woo, Lord, have mercy. My. We had to get something taken care of, but we're good. But let me do the rundown one more time before we start the show. Listen on the line, 561, and you can be a part of today's show. I had to remember that. I'm a blessed Lord at all times, no matter what happens, no matter what craziness comes your way. You got a blessing anyway. You want to be a part of today's show, 561, you can be a part of today's show. If you want to call in, that's why you want to call in with your question or comment, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. Again, one more time, area code 347-934-0546. We would love to hear from you. If you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Again, if you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We would love to hear from you that way. One more time, takingthelimitsoff, that's the email, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Looking forward to hearing from you all that way. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that. You can follow us on social media, real simple. If you want to tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Looking forward to hearing from you all that way. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. If you want to follow us on Facebook, you can do that, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Looking forward to hearing from you all that way. If you want to follow us on Instagram, we are live on Instagram right now. Instagram, real simple, TTLO Radio. That's how you can find us on Instagram, TTLO Radio. Just do a quick search for that handle, and you will find us there. And then the live streams are up and running right now. I believe they are. Yes, sir. We are live on Ustream right now, live on Ustream. You can find us there, Ustream.tv. Just do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off Radio. Do a simple search on Ustream, Ustream.tv. You can find us right there. Amen, amen. You can do that. And then, man. Facebook Live is blowing up in the show. Barely started. They must have saw the title and got excited, huh? Want to know what I'm going to talk about. Amen. I know how that goes. Messy. Anyway. Lord have mercy. Facebook Live. Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. That's the topic. Facebook Live. Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. That's where you can find us there. For the live feed on Facebook. Amen. You can do that. And then you can find us live on Instagram as well. We're live on Instagram right now. You can find us there on the gram, live on Instagram, TTLO Radio. Just do a simple search, TTLO Radio, and that's where you can find us there. Amen, amen, amen. Let me just go right in. It's a bunch of y'all that popped in already on Facebook. Let me see if I can catch all of the names before they start disappearing. Hello, Maria Salisbury, down from Indiana. What's going on, my old school choir member? Used to be here back in the day at the Kingdom. Amen, amen. What's going on, Maria, down in Indiana? Paige T, God bless you. Hello, God bless you. Kathleen Savon down in Georgia, God bless you. Iris Reed, if y'all watching and listening, let me know where you're listening from and watching from. Amen. Let me know where you're at, Chicago. I know some of y'all in Chi-Town and other suburbs. Even if you ain't in Chicago, let me know where you're at so I can rep your city. Rep your city when you come on, man. Iris Reed, God bless you. Yvette Quinones, God bless you. Angela L. Johnson, what's going on, twin? God bless you. Lizette Dingwall, God bless you. Angela, let's see. Marion Cunningham, God bless you. Alyssa Jackson, God bless you. Karen Betts, God bless you. Sharisa Gregory, what's going on? God bless you. Terry Pendleton, Deacon Pendleton in the house, y'all. Yeah, I see the name. Terry Pendleton is in the house. Kim Tony and Shirley Savage, God bless you. What's going on? Ashley Chantel, I see you. Bessie Nichols going, what's happening? Let's see. Diane Pope. Come on. I see you. Kathleen Savon, God bless you. Come on. And where you say you at, Angela? Angela is at O'Hare, and Diane Pope is in Broadview. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Angela. Thank you, Angela. Angela says she's doing some invite. That's what y'all supposed to do. I like when y'all hit the share button, but you can also hit the invite button. See, inviting is more personal. Share just means I'm putting it out on the page, and I want y'all to know that I did it. Invite say, hey, I really want you to come. There's a difference between knowing about something and being invited to something. Okay, see, that's a sermon in itself. There's a difference between knowing about something and being invited to something. You know how folks could say, like you was having a party, and people will turn around and say, you knew I was having a party, but did you invite me, though? See what I'm saying? There's a difference between being invited, come on now, between being invited versus knowing about it. Amen. Now that'll touch some of y'all in a minute. That'll hit some of y'all in a minute. Oh, my God. I'm looking for my producer if she's available to answer my question. Amen. 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 But, yeah, I'm just, man, that's good. I like that. Thank you, Angela. I appreciate you. I appreciate you as always, as always. Look, y'all, it is going to be good. Last thing. If you want to subscribe to the podcast, I'm sorry, slipped my mind. If you want to subscribe to the podcast, you can do that. Real simple to do that. Real simple. Just do a simple search, Google search, Taking Limits Off Radio. You can find us anywhere. Amen. Amen. Thank you. That's right. That's right, Angela. That's right. Thank you for the invite. Amen. Now, if you choose not to come after being invited, it's your choice, right? But you can't say you didn't know, right? Amen. See, it's different. There's a difference between knowing about something and being invited to something. I have to express that. That's a wonderful thing. Amen. Amen. Look, y'all, as usual, so much stuff going on. I don't know if y'all saw this or not. I don't want to catch nobody off guard or anything like that. But if you haven't already done so, you need to go to the TTLO Facebook page. You need to go to the TTLO Facebook page. If you haven't already followed us on Facebook, the Taking Limits Off Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio, you have to go there. There is I'm going to make sure I put this at the top of the page. Pin that to the top so it's automatic. Yeah, let me do that. Y'all need to go there. As soon as you get there as soon as you can. There is, we got some good news happening. Something we're going to do it one time, just for y'all, primetime special, Monday, March 26th, 7 p.m. Y'all need to get ready for that one. It's a primetime special, Monday, March the 26th, 2017 at 7 p.m. live. So we won't be doing the Monday show in the afternoon that day. Right. We won't be doing the Monday show in the afternoon that day. We're going to be doing it in the evening at 7 p.m. So expect to see everybody. Y'all going to see a bunch of familiar faces, just making sure they're going to be here. But we will be here live Monday, March 26th at 7 p.m. prime time. Amen. We joke around. My producer and I, Latanya, we joke around. We're calling it TTLO After Dark. But we, one time, and y'all need to make sure y'all be there for that. It's gonna be good. So just stay on the lookout. Gonna be some information coming out about it. I want y'all to be ready for it when it does come, though. So keep a lookout for that. But Monday only, Monday, March 26th at 7 p.m. We will be live. We will be live in the studio doing our show that evening instead of in the afternoon. So I don't want nobody looking for us Monday afternoon on March 26th. Be looking out at 7 p.m. You're going to see the advertisers coming up. We're going to have church in the tower. But it's going to be a good time. Amen. Amen. I hope y'all are ready for it. It's going to be good. But look, y'all, we do have a great subject, and we're going to jump into it. I want to talk about a few things briefly. We want to jump into it, but today's topic is going to be good, man. It's going to be good. I promise you it is. It's going to be real good. Some churches should die and stay dead. That's just the truth. I don't want nobody to get mad about it, but it is the truth. Amen. Amen. We're going to jump into that. But look, y'all, real quick. So y'all know we had this bipolar weather here. In Chicago, and I want to say that real quick. This weather is bipolar as all outdoors. We getting rainstorms, snowstorms. We getting ice storms. We getting a little bit of everything, all in the midst of a few days. And it's kind of crazy. And there were I saw this morning, there were so many spinouts over the highways. This morning, especially down in the Indiana area, man, it's kind of scary that we'd have that much going on at the same time. All of this stuff happening at one time, man. So I just want to tell y'all this. Please be careful out in the streets. I saw so many people on the side of the road watching the news this morning. So many spinouts because of the black ice that you cannot see. Look, and this is coming from somebody who likes to drive really fast. Take your time going where you're going. Now, I'm saying that from somebody who likes to drive really fast. Take your time getting where you ain't nowhere you got to be at. Look, it will be there when you get there. It will be there when you get there. Okay? It will be there when you get that. So I'm just I just want y'all to be careful out there today. Be careful out there today with what you're trying to do. Man, I just you know, just be careful. Yeah. So but that's, I want y'all to know about that. So anyway, real quick. And I saw this on in now, let me say this. I don't watch The Bachelor. Do any of y'all watch The Bachelor? Bless you, Carol Turner. Do any of y'all watch The Bachelor? I do not watch The Bachelor. I can't say I've ever watched an episode of the Bachelor. I can't say I've ever watched an episode of The Bachelor, but I saw all these tweets going on yesterday. Nope, Diane Pope said nope. I've never watched it. And part of the reason I've never watched it is because, you know what? They've never had anybody, like they had I saw they had the first black female bachelorette on there, which was a joke. I want them to get a hardcore brother on there to be the bachelor. Know what I'm saying? See, Angela says not a lot, but I did the other day. Right, right. So my question is, can y'all help me understand? So let me make sure I got the gist of this. So the purpose of The Bachelor, the premise, for those of you who don't watch, and again, I do know the premise. The premise of The Bachelor is they get one dude and they get 25, is it 20 girls or whatever? And these 20 girls are vying for his affections, and hopefully at the end of the show, they get the final rose and maybe an engagement. So apparently this dude, Ari's on the show. And apparently he's like the most boring bachelor ever, but he goes on through this process and he comes down to these two women, Laura and what was the girl that got the other one? I forgot their names, but he comes down to these two girls, a brunette and a blonde. Let me put it that way. That's all I know. I might not have their names right, but one is a blonde and one is a brunette. Y'all pray for me, pray my strength. So he gets down to the end and he picks the brunette first. He sends home the blonde. It comes down to the final two, and he sends the blonde home, right? And he sends her home. He really likes her. He kind of really, really likes her, but he sends the blonde home, and he picks the brunette. So then he gets to the brunette, and the brunette and him are all good, and supposedly, and then a few weeks after, you know, they get off camera, they're supposed to go and hang out and get to know one another a whole lot more because they got all this free time and, you know, personal time off camera. Well, apparently, Mr. Bachelor said he couldn't stop thinking about the girl, the runner-up, that he sent home. I'm just telling y'all what I know. Don't get mad at me. He couldn't stop thinking about the girl that he sent home. So Angela, you was involved. Angela said she was about to cry. I'm saying he couldn't stop thinking about the girl that he sent home, the blonde. Now, he went to brunette, so finally he comes to, I guess he calls the producers of the show, and he tells the producers, hey, y'all, I can't, deal with this going to these public parties with the brunette anymore because I'm really missing the blonde. I know I'm making this sound real simple, but I'm just telling you, I don't know the names of the people. I'm really missing the blonde, and I want to try to work it out, and I want y'all to know that I'm ready to end this thing with the brunette, the girl I gave the final rose to. I'm ready to end this thing with her because I want this one. And so he calls the producer. So now they bring the cameras back to what's supposed to be private time with no cameras because they're off the show. The show is over. And they bring the cameras back, and he tells her on live camera, hey, guess what? Kind of wanted to talk to you because, I've been thinking about this, and I really kind of want to make things work out with the blonde. Mind you, if these would have been black folk, this conversation would have went a whole nother kind of way. If this would have been some, Carol Turner said, that's why we wait on God. Right, right. He that findeth. Right. Well, he was trying to find it. He had 20 to choose from. He just So he tells the brunette sitting on the couch. He has this conversation like this. He goes, you know, I've been thinking a lot about the blonde girl. I'm giving y'all the brother version. I'm giving y'all the Wakanda version. You know, I've been thinking about the blonde girl a lot, and I kind of won't. See if I can make some stuff work out with her. And she goes, so do you really want to be with her? He was like, if I can. I'm sorry. So now he done broke this girl's heart. Now he runs to the blonde girl, right? They got the camera set up. Now he's running, he's driving and flying, whatever he got to do. He gets over to the blonde girl and tells her he's so sorry. He messed up. He made the wrong decision. He did all of this, blah, 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 and wish she had him back. And she pretty much said yeah, because she supposedly loves the guy. So she pretty much said yeah, and she decided to take him back. So now they're on the show last night, all three of them, and he's pretty much saying how, you know, he felt pressured to do this or whatever, you know, and they're asking him, well, why did you have to propose? Because supposedly you don't have to propose at the end of the show. There's no rule that says you have to propose at the end of the show. I just assumed that was part of the storyline. Like, you date these 20 women for how many weeks the show lasts, and then you whittle it down, and then you get to the one, and at the end you supposedly propose. I don't know but apparently that's not a rule of the show. You don't have to propose. So anyway, last night, after him and the blonde and the brunette all sat on the couch together and talked about how crazy and everything was, they sent the brunette home because now we found out she's going to be the bachelorette on the next show. Of course, right? Why not? She's going to be the bachelorette on the next show. So now the brother is sitting there, not the brother, but Ari is sitting there with the blonde. And now all of a sudden, mind you, just proposed to somebody else. Now, mind you, we're watching this in a couple days span. These proposals did not happen back to back, meaning one day and then the next day. This was a taped thing. Last night, however, was a live show. So he proposed to her, and of course she said yes, right? Let me say this. I think this whole thing was a setup for ratings, because you had a bunch of people, i.e. me, who gave that show about 5 or 10 minutes of my life that I normally never would pay any attention to. And I saw people on my timeline on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and everywhere else who've never watched the show before talking about The Bachelor. It's crazy, right? So I think it was the biggest scam ever set forward. I don't think it was legit. I think we're gonna find out later on that the whole thing was set up like, hey, pick this other girl and we'll do that and we'll make it easy on her. We'll just make her the bachelorette for the next show and then she'll have her chance at love when we send 20 dudes her way and blah 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 blah. Let me ask y'all this. For the women that are watching right now, it's a bunch of y'all on here, and I'm going to ask the guys the same question. Would y'all do The Bachelor? Let me ask y'all this. Is my producer still on? Would y'all do The Bachelor and the bros that's on here watching? Would you all do The Bachelorette? Would you go and date these 20 people publicly on the air? Would y'all be willing to try The Bachelor? If they came to you and said, hey, now I ain't talking about you that's married. So Angela, I know you typing away. I know you sitting at O'Hare right now pecking on your phone. So don't even type. I'm talking to my single unmarried women who are watching right now and my single bros right now. Would you all do The Bachelor? I'm just curious. I'm just curious. Diane said nope. Kel Turner said nope. Kim Tony said nope. All y'all said, and she gave me the thumbs down. Don't nobody. So let me ask y'all this question. What's the difference between The Bachelor and singles ministry? I'm asking for a friend. What's the difference between The Bachelor? Oh, God. I just want to know, what's the difference between The Bachelor and the singles ministry, not to mention hepatitis? Kim Tony said, nope, and not to mention hepatitis is real. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. I'm just asking. I just want to know. What if it was a bachelor's what if it was like a Christian bachelor's? What if it was like a Christian bachelor's, you know, where you met men who were saved? So that means y'all just went out on a date, Y'all got to meet each other. No hugging and kissing necessary. None of that, you know. You go out on dates and you know, do. What if it was Christian? What you know, what if it was sanctified bachelor? I'm just saying, what if it was sanctified Holy Ghost filled bachelor? Kim Tony said, you ain't kissing in the singles ministry. So wait, single, okay. See, this is why I went there, because I knew somebody's going to get. So you're saying when you saved and you dating, you don't kiss. I'm just asking a question. This is why I need to. Where's my? This is why I need. This is why we need females on the show. I need. We're working on it. Where? So what you're telling me is when you say you don't kiss. That's what y'all telling me. Is that what I mean? No. You know, worse. No. Worse. Church folk. Church folk is worse. What? How am I playing too much? These are. I think this is a legitimate question. I think where the bros at? Ain't none of the bros. Hold on. See, Lord, y'all. Oh, slow down. Where are y'all? You know what's the call in number? Y'all can call in because some of y'all is a little violent on over the airways. Y'all typing fast. Wait a minute. Let me see, Pat. Felicia Mine says she would. I would run just because it's called that. Oh, you would run. Okay. I do not play too much. Okay. Good afternoon. Hey, Pat Hicks, how you doing? I asked Pat Hicks. Pat Hicks saved full of the Holy Ghost. Pat Hicks, would you go on, Pat Hicks, would you go on saved and single bachelorette? Or the saved and single bachelor show? I just want to know. Because the rest of you, because y'all is jumping on me. Carol Turner says, Sanctify Holy Ghost back. Right. Disagree. Singles ministry has more sex than the marriage ministry. What? Felicia, mind what? I don't know what singles ministry you've been going to. Diane Pope said, even if I wasn't married, I don't care if Jesus was sitting there watching. Nope. She ain't going. Hold on. Kim Tony said, you're not kissing 10 people all the time. Okay. All right. Okay. I get that. Okay. Pastor Cornelius Price, what's going on, man? Man, you should have been here today. Andrew says, I married my date. That's why I told you keep your comments to yourself. See, Pat Hicks says she would go. Pat keeps it real. Pat Hicks is my for real, saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost sister. She says she gone. Now, here's my question. So I'm going to ask the question again. So what you're saying is single and dating. Let's talk about that for a moment. This, we could actually do a show about single and dating. I need to make sure I got some the female perspective in the studio. I can't do this by myself. But single and dating. Are y'all saying that you can't, when you're single and you're dating, you ain't supposed to kiss? Is that what I'm hearing? Is that the connotation that I'm getting? Because I got a whole bunch of quick notes. I ain't talking about y'all talking about no hepatitis passing around. I'm just asking a question. Single and dating. Are you all telling me that shouldn't be no kissing? Angela Johnson. See, Angela is out of Tanya. Could you get Angela? Where's the block button for Angela? So I kissed my date and I wanted to get busy. So I married him. Okay. Oh, help us, Lord. Anyway, I'm asking, I think these are valid questions. It wasn't really a controversy. But let me say, I'm saying it ain't safe. Okay. Oh, Lord, to each his own. You know what you can and cannot do. Carol Turner said, you have to know when you are giving place to the devil. Y'all so safe. You got to know when you're giving place to the devil. Diane Pope said you can kiss, but that's supposed to. You can kiss, but that bed is supposed to stay made. Okay, Diane Pope. Diane, look, Prophetess Diane done spoke to y'all. She said y'all can kiss, but that bed is supposed to stay made. That's what the Prophetess Diane Pope just told y'all on here. She said, look here, y'all kiss all you want. But the bed supposed to stay made. Amen. All right. See, what you talking about? I'm just saying, I'm asking questions. We was talking about the bachelorette and dating. And I'm wondering, I asked the question, would any of you all be interested in a saved and sanctified Holy Ghost filled bachelorette TV show? You know, where you got on there and you met some saved Holy Ghost filled brethren, you know, and I ain't talking about, you know, I'm talking about for real, you know, and you know, at the end of the day, you could be saved, saved by Holy Ghost, you still a man and she's still a woman, right? So, you know, them urges, and unless both of y'all is virgins, I'm just saying, unless both of y'all is virgins or been re-virginified, that's the new word, I just introduced it, unless you've been re-virginified, used to be a lady around here at the church, used to tell the girls that they can become virgins again, unless you can be real re-virginified, you know, y'all gonna have them emotions and them urges. So I'm just asking a question. Is it possible?
Nope.
I'm just asking a question. Is it possible for y'all to have, you know, to participate in such a show? I did not say what? According to the word, I just said, can I turn and say, you have to know when to flee fornication. Amen. Diane, you know when to hold and know when to fold them and know when to run. No, Carol Turner did not just quote. She did not just come from the book of Kenny Rogers, did she? That must be after Revelation. She just. Oh, God. She just quoted Prophet. Bishop Kenny Rogers, Carol Turner just said, you got to know when to hold them and know when to run. Oh, God, y'all blessing me. Y'all are blessing me. It was just a question. I just wanted to know. I was just curious as to what y'all would say. Kim Tony says, you can kiss, you better not. Pat Hicks says, I don't think a kiss would hurt. Angela Johnson, cousin. Angela, how many times you going? We know you married your date. See, you know what? She just be doing too much. She be doing too much. Oh God, I'm just saying. Look, if you got opinions, y'all want to call in because I know it's hard for y'all to type. The call in number, I was trying to type it, but I couldn't. The call in number is area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-05. Hey, type. 0546. That's the call in number. If you want to call into the show, it's easy for y'all. Y'all want to make, you know, more comments or whatever. Ain't nobody hating, Angela. Look, ain't nobody hating. That's all good. I'm just saying, you know, that's why I was talking to the single people, the single and saved, not the married and saved. I was talking to the single and saved and full of the Holy Ghost people. Amen. Amen. Felicia Martin said, the singles ministry I've attended. Were not realistic and made women feel bad. You should start one. Who, me? No, I'm. Mm-mm. You know what? There really should be. You know, I mean, here's a question. I guess I would ask this to pastors. Any pastors listening? Pastor Carol Turner, you're a pastor. She's on here. Angela Johnson, you're a pastor. You're on here. And I don't know who else. Parks, if Parks is still on here, do y'all have singles ministries at y'all's church? Because it's easy to say, do not fornicate and all that stuff. But are you teaching and does your single ministry involve real life application? Because, see, that's the necessity. Does single ministry involve real life application? You know, because, you know, you need scenarios, right? You need a scenario of because, you know, people don't date like they used to date back when your mom and them dated. And some of y'all mamas was a little hot anyway. I ain't going, okay. That's how y'all got here. But I'm just saying, single dating is not like it used to be. Huh? No, see, Angela, see, Angela, that comment right there is why folk got, see that right there, that's why you won't have no singles ministry. She said, get your nasty selves married. Sex is not an excuse to get married. I'll say that again. I'll say it again. And I'll say it again. That's how the church done sent so many folk to the dang on divorce court because y'all keep telling people stop having sex and just go get married. I'm going to say that again. And I don't care who don't. Look here. Y'all stop sending people to the. That's exactly how folk ended up at the. So many married Christian folk ended up at divorce court because y'all just went and told them, is y'all misquoting Paul, it's better to marry than to burn. I know why y'all say it, but that ain't scripture. And you're taking it out of context. Huh? Don't get me started. It's better to marry than to burn. That's how you get folk in trouble. Y'all done sent more saved folk to the divorce judge than you should have. Talking about some, well, you know, if you're doing this, you might as well get married. Oh my God, I'm just saying. And because we not single, we call it singles ministry to help. There are no difference between married folk and single folk. One just has a body in the pit. Carol Turner says, what she said, Carol Turner, yes, we minister to the singles. I'm kidding, right. Tony, yes. When I say nasty, I mean you doing stuff that folks ain't yours. Okay, yeah. Felicia Martin said, I'm a living witness. Some years ago, we had a singles dating show, sent the couple on a date. Oh, okay. That's a divorce waiting. Yeah, and I'm serious about that. And I'm not picking on Angela, but I'm telling you, that has been taught so many times in the church for years. We have told young people who are in their 20s who are dating, and for whatever reason they're dating, and we tell them that, you know, we send them to some of these marriage ministries, and at these marriage ministries you got some preacher standing up there telling them, well, you know, Paul says, no. We quick to quote that, you know, Paul says, you know, if they can't control themselves, get married, because Paul said in 1 Corinthians. Look, can we read this? I'm gonna help somebody today. 1 Corinthians, y'all help me. 1 Corinthians 7:9, I believe is where it is. Right? Is that right? 1 Corinthians. And we want to read it for context, right? So we want to read it for context. Y'all know how I am about context, because folk quickly, especially church folk who don't read their Bible, are quick to tell you about some stuff. Angela, I ain't quoting you wrong. That's why I said I was clean. Let me finish. Singles ministry should be about dating. Yeah. Singles ministry should not be about dating. LaDonna, okay, let me keep going. So the scripture is 1 Corinthians 7:9. But let me read some of this. Let me start with 1 Corinthians 7:1. This is what the writer says. The writer says, this is Paul saying, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife benevolence, if I can read, benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power. Now, this is where y'all get in trouble, because, see, now I'm just going to read the scripture. The wife had not power over her own body but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, and Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Then he says, but I speak this by permission and not of commandment. See, I'm reading this now. I speak this of permission and not of commandment. He says, for I would that all men were even as myself. He says, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. He says, I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. He says, and unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband, but and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let her not be to put away his wife, and blah, 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 blah. Okay, so I just want to make sure we clear. I got to make sure we clear. Yes. We need to make, absolutely. Abstention is the way to go. Abstaining is the way to go. That's absolute. But if you're going to teach to a singles ministry, 9 times out of 10, and I could be completely wrong, if you get 10 single black men and 10 single black women in a room, I doubt if you're going to find 2 virgins in the group. That's just a thought. I could be wrong. I'm just really guessing. I'm being real speculative, but I'm just simply saying I doubt you're going to find two virgins. So what I'm saying is if you're going to teach on singles ministry, then maybe you need to come with some real life scenarios, right? Don't come to them with this scripture. I'm not saying don't use this scripture, but this scripture has a time and a place that it should be applied. Angela says, it's a sensitive subject. Let me read this because I can't see. You got to teach it writing. You got to abstain. And I mean that if you don't get ready for open change, because when you slip, baby comes. Okay, got all that. Angela says, I married because I wanted to. We'll never suggest marriage because you want to get busy. Eric Dixon said, you're not going to find one. You ain't going to find a virgin in the mix. Oh, God. I'm just saying. I think if we're going to have the conversation, then the conversation needs to be real.
Yeah.
right. So where we're not shaming people and where we're not making people feel bad about what they're done or what they're even not and even making them feel bad about what they're doing. Right. Because the first thing is we do is have to teach them. We have to teach them. We have to teach them first. We can't instantly throw shame out. Yes, fornication is wrong. Absolutely. Adultery is wrong. Absolutely. But we have to teach them first. Right. We can't come out the bat. We can't. The worst thing you could do is have a single person come to your ministry and you start your ministry off like this. Hello, my name is Reverend Dana King, and I want to say this to all of my singles. I'm so glad to have you here, and I just want to say this. Paul said it's better to marry than to burn. So if you only, you know what I'm saying? You can't start off the thing. No. Because everybody and mama going to get up and walk out. Huh? You got to be honest and open enough with people so that they understand what it is you're trying to do, right? You got to do that because there's otherwise you're not gonna get anything out of it. You're not gonna get anything out of it. If you do, they're not gonna get anything out of it. And the goal is to get everybody to grow. That's the goal of any ministry, is to get people to grow. Right. And you will do a lot. And the thing about it is, see, we wait until can I be honest? And I'm going to spend another 2 or 3 minutes on this and then I'm going to move on. Matter of fact, Tanya, let me know when it's 105. At 105, I got to do this article. Y'all, I got to do this article. Let me know when it's 105. Here is the deal. Don't wait until they're in their 20s and 30s and start teaching on this. You got to start teaching them when they're young. You got to start teaching this when they're in that, like the minute you know they're getting ready to go into high school, eighth grade and up. It, like if it was up to me, I'm gonna tell you right now. If I had kids in my church that were in seventh grade, from seventh and eighth, going upward, this would be a subject. This would be a subject. Because you need to get them because if you wait until they're in their 20s and 21, too much stuff happens. Too much stuff happens. And to be honest with you, children are losing their virginity at 11, 12, 13 years old. Folks ain't waiting until they're 22 and 25 to mess up. They messing up early. They messing up early. And we can't wait until... We can't wait until folks get up in age and get set in their way, because watch this. Can I be honest? If you're a 30-year-old man and a 30-year-old woman who's been doing whatever they want to do based off of how they felt like doing it, meaning I just say it like this. If you're 30 years old and you're a freak, and all of a sudden you decide to give your life over to the Lord, right? You know, and you give it over, you know, a little bit at a time, right? And you start doing that, and then at the same time, all of a sudden you're 30 years old and you a freak, and now you go to singles ministry, and then there's somebody finna tell, and all of a sudden you just gonna stop on a dime? No, because see, you've built up some habits, you've built up some so-called needs. So now all of a sudden you got some preacher standing in front of you telling you, well, don't do this and don't do that. You need if you grab them when they're young before they start setting up these habits, then we don't have these issues. Or the issues are not as great as they appear. Oh, you're absolutely right, Felicia. The church can only do so much. The parents have to teach also. I agree. But I'm strictly speaking from a ministry standpoint. Oh yeah. Now it's gonna be hard for you to be a single female and a single male, and you go home and your mama or your daddy is a freak. And if you're coming from a single parent home, and mama got what's that thing? Mama got the basket and the pole in the room, and she's single. You know. You know, daddy got a swing, and you know, daddy got the room back there that you ain't supposed to go in, and then you all of a sudden want to give your life over to the Lord, and but it's kind of hard now. You're gonna need some help, huh? I'm just saying. I'm just saying, what? I'm just saying we got to do a better job of teaching our people, and the church cannot be afraid to broach these subjects. I think you do yourself a disservice when you're afraid to broach, and the best place to do them is in your young groups, in your young in that age group from seventh grade up until, you know, that group. That's the group, and if you get them, guess what? You're not going to stop them from doing anything. I want to make that clear. You can't stop them from doing anything, but you can put the thought in their mind so that they can make informed decisions, right? So they can make informed choices and informed decisions. That's all I'm asking, y'all. That's all I'm asking. If we're going to talk about Christian dating, if we're going to talk about real singles ministry, then we need to do it in a way that's real, that's authentic, and raw. But I agree with you too, Angela. You says we need to teach grace to singles. Yes. We got to teach grace, and married folk need to be careful as to not condemn folk, because you married. Because just because you married, can I talk to the married folk for a moment? Just because you married don't mean your behind wasn't always a freak. Huh? Don't mean you weren't always saved either before you found Mr. Right and Miss Right. So when you come to singles ministry, you need to come and tell us about what happened before you got married. Because, see, when you only talk from an aspect of, well, you know, I'm married now. You know, before you come dealing with all of that, you need to be legit. Don't give me just what's happening now. Give me what happened and tell me how you got to where you got. That would help me. Amen. Look, y'all, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to jump right into today's conversation because I want to give it all of its time. Amen. Carol Turner says, deal with it. Amen. Amen. That's good stuff, man. God bless y'all, man. We're going to take a real quick break. If y'all want to call in, you're more than welcome to do that. The phone number is area code 347-934-0546. Again, area code 347-934-0546. That's how you can call into the show. Otherwise, you guys are good. Appreciate y'all. If you want to email the show, you can do that. Email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. And we got an email the other day that I did not read because I didn't see it. But the email was from this, y'all. The email was from Sister Priscilla McCurtis. She sent this on Monday afternoon, and I did not see the email in the Taking Limits office. She sent it Monday afternoon, and this is to all of you all. This is the email. I'm going to read this to all of you all because I consider y'all all part of the crew. The email says this. She says, "Good afternoon." She says, "I would like to thank all of you, TTLO, for their cards, calls, acknowledgments, visits, prayers, and on behalf of Deacon Lovey McCurtis." She says, "Your prayers have been most helpful, and I thank you all for everything. Lovey will be deeply missed, but be forever and remain in our hearts. Lovingly, the McCurtis family." So that was from Sister McCurtis to all of you all who reached out, who posted on my post about Deacon McCurtis and all of that. She sent that to the show. And wanted me to read that to all of you all. Sorry I missed it on Monday, Mama. I don't know how we missed that, but we're gonna do a better job of keeping track of that. Amen. So that's what I wanted to make sure we read that. Amen. So look, y'all, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into today's conversation, y'all. We're going to jump right into it. It's going to be good. Y'all get ready. And if you haven't already done so, like my twin Angela, hit that share button and then hit that invite button. Don't just hit share. Hit invite. Amen. We'll be right back, y'all. TTLO.
We hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546, or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Amen. We are back. Where the sound go? Okay. Well, my sound got real low all of a sudden. I don't know why. Can we get some sound, volume, something? Amen. I don't know what that is. Something happened with the sound. Get somebody. Yep. Anybody got any ideas on what happened? Okay, that's better. All right. Amen. That's weird. Amen. So let's just jump into today's conversation, y'all. This is going to be good. I hope y'all ready for this. Okay, now it's coming back a little too loud. Amen. Today's convo is going to be good. It's really simply dealing with, we're just going to deal with it, man. It's simply this. Some churches should die and just stay dead. Some churches should die and just stay dead. That's the topic of today's conversation. We're going to delve into this thing, man, and we're going to dive into it. Don't want y'all to get offended. Just listen, and you feel free to comment. You can call in. You can write in. You can tell your pastor. You can do whatever you want to do. But this is about to get good. It's going to get real, and I just want to have a conversation with y'all. And ain't nothing to be offended by. Let's just talk about it. And if this applies to your church, maybe you can do some things to change it before you get to this point. Amen. Amen. So we're going to jump right into this conversation. Amen. Let's just go right into it. The writer says this. He says, some churches die, and sometimes they should. Woo, my God. He says, as shocking as this may be, the death of a church might be the best thing that could happen for the sake of the gospel within a given community. He says, he goes on to say, he says, churches are not meant to be mere holding tanks for folks who remember the good old days. And if they cannot or will not fulfill their purpose, they don't need to exist. Oh, Lord, they don't need to exist. The writer says this. He says, don't misread me here. He says, not every struggling church needs to die. Not every struggling church needs to die. He says, however, some churches go through rough spots and come out stronger on the other side. That's a true fact. That's a true fact. But then he goes on to say, he says, many that appear to be in their winter years can be revitalized and become more effective, again, through leadership changes or more likely through a powerful move of God that stirs their affections and motivates them to love and good deeds. Revitalization happens and should happen more. Many struggling churches in their twilight years, however, face issues that may have a chokehold on them spiritually, financially, and or relationally. In these cases, it may be best to, as graciously as possible, close the doors. Oh, Lord. So he says, let's go. He says, many churches just need to close, and for many, that feels like failure. So let's talk about this. I just want to talk about what he said at the beginning of this article. He says, churches are not meant to be mere holding tanks for folks who remember the good old days. Church was never meant or intended to be a place where folks just came to reminisce about the good old days. I'm going to help somebody. So let's talk about this. He says, what if death and replanting are connected? Death and replanting. Now, y'all know what replants are. A replant is simply taking an old church, shutting it down for a season, and then restarting that same church under a different name. It's like rebranding, right? That's all a replant is, a replant. Planting a church is something, is doing a whole new church brand new, right? Replanting is no different than what you do with a pot. Like if you take a plant, right? If you take a plant that is stagnated, that can't grow, if you take a plant that's not growing because the weeds have gotten too big or they're too close together, you have to take that plant out and put it in a larger pot. That's considered replanting. I want to make sure we got that, right? Okay, so we're talking about churches dying versus replanting, right? He says, what if death and replanting are connected? What if death and replanting are connected? The writer says this. He says, but what if instead of merely closing the doors and walking away, there was another way? What if there could be a changing of the guard? What if in the fertile composting soil of the dead church, a new healthier church could be birthed to pick up the mantle of gospel and work the first one had begun? Replanting is a healthy approach to dealing with a dying congregation and should be considered as churches find themselves facing death. He says, I've written on replanting before, but today I'd like to quickly discuss what healthy replanting might look like since it's becoming more common practice. Keep in mind that much of what follows will need to be worked out well in advance before a replant actually happens. Replanting does not happen overnight, at least healthy replanting doesn't. Don't try to force it, but do consider pursuing it. Here are some short ideas. So let's talk about this for a second. Some churches do need to close, just like some businesses do, right? Now, replanting is an option, but you have to be able to do it and want to do it in a way that's going to be well thought out and well planned, not just come back and say, hey, let's get this. Let's get a branding. Let's get this. Let's do this. And all of a sudden, now this is the new and improved. No. No. It doesn't work that way. You're not new and improved if you haven't done anything on the inside. You can get all the branding you want. You can do all of that stuff. You can make it pretty and do all of that. If you have not changed the direction on the inside, it will not change. So let's go with the writer says this. He says, first, excuse me, create a new identity. Create a new identity. First, you got to know what your old identity was. First, you got to know who you were ahead of time, right? You got to know who you were ahead of time. Let's go back. The writer says this. He says, a new church will need a new identity so the community will know it's a new church. Can I pause for a second? If the community didn't know you before, then this identity that you created is going to be new altogether. If you were unknown in your community beforehand, then this is going to help you. Okay? So he says, you see, you've already decided the old church was not for them. They have already decided that the old church was not for them. Can I help somebody? If you're in a community and the majority of that community, and you can look around your church, and the majority of the people in your church are not from the community, that means the community has decided that your church is not for them. Come on now. Don't get mad. Let's just look at let's be honest. Let's be honest. Oh, my God. Kim Tony, bless you. She says, you cannot replant or rebuild the church using the same inferior materials, namely the people or death weeds. Oh, my God. That's good. So she says this. She says, they may decide, the writer says, they may decide the same thing about the new church. However, a new identity is a new opportunity for engagement. I'll repeat that. A new identity is a new opportunity for engagement. The writer goes on to say, also, those who come to replant churches also need to know they are part of something new. If you were a member of a church and you left that church, right? And let's say you were gone for 10 years or in and out for 10 years. And then all of a sudden you come back. There should be something new about the church. Right? There should be a new vibe, a new feeling, a new excitement. There should be something new. And I'm not saying a new pastor. I'm not saying, because see, people want to put all the onus on the pastor. They want to put all of the responsibility of the church growing on the pastor. They want to put all the responsibility of the newness and everything happening on the pastor. And that's not how it works. People want to see something new, right? So he says, the writer says, if you allow me to get a little biblical, he says, you can't put new wine in old wine skins. Now, I've said this a million times, and I've actually preached this before. You can't pour new wine into old wine skins. I don't care how many new ministries you try to start. I don't care how many new people you try to put on a ministry. If the ministry is still being run by the same people, if you still can I help somebody? Because see, we take this wineskin. I want to put this wineskin thing where we can understand it. I have a leadership team who has been in existence or has been in power for some 30 odd years, right? So they are set in their ways, right? And then here I come trying to pour some new wine into them old skins. Well, I'm gonna have a whole lot of problems. Because, see, first of all, they ain't going to be able to sustain the new thing. They're not going to be able to maintain this new fresh attitude. They're not going to be able to maintain, this new energy. So what's going to happen is, instead of them trying to understand that we need to make a new wine skins, they're going to say, oh, just add that on. Just keep adding that on. Just keep adding that too. Or we'll add that too. Or we'll add that ministry too. Are you taking anything away? Before you start adding all these new ministries, are you taking anything away? Have you looked at the list of ministries and said, well, you know, I see these, but are they functional? And functional don't mean because y'all have a meeting. Functional means, is there any fruit coming from the ministry? If this ministry has been in existence for the last 10 or 15 years, huh? Can you show me some evidence of some fruit from said ministry? I don't hear nobody. Crickets. Okay. So the writer says this. If you allow me to get a little biblical, you can't put new wine in old wineskins. He says there must be definitive and purposeful separation. Watch this again. There must be a definitive and purposeful separation between the old and the new. He says, as a general rule, I would say that anything having to do with the former congregation, except the building, needs to begin anew, even if only for a time. That's in that's the article. That ain't me, because I know y'all gonna be like, oh, there you go. I'm just reading the article. This is good. He says, the new church will be moving in a different direction, doing different things, and hopefully seeing different results. He says, continuing with the same, though it could have some historical significance in the area, will add baggage to an already difficult proposition. He says, developing a new identity starts with a new name. He says, and a new pastor coming into an area who will have a vision for reaching the community. If there is no new vision, what's the point of closing? Meaning, if there's no new vision, what's the point of replanting? If there is no new vision, what's the point of planting? Oh, my God. This is good. Woo, y'all comments on here. Let's see. Angela Johnson says, my young church from my childhood taught me so much. First and foremost, the why I needed a church family, why I needed the Lord, how to speak, how to address an audience appropriately. She says, how to teach, how to lead, how to sing. Everything I am today from my old church, she says, I had an intricate role. It prepared me for today. Rob and I aren't an extension. He was raised Kojic, but we have been able to use a lot of what we learned. Some things we had to trash. God's grace is sufficient, and we have dared to be different in the Western suburbs. Amen. Let me keep going. Steak on the garbage can top. Yeah. Think about that for a moment. Would you go into if I took you to the finest steakhouse and it smelled like garbage, but you knew the steak was good, would you still want to eat? Probably not. So we need to work on what's stinking, right? We need to work on what don't work and get all that stuff out. You can't. Look, Barack Obama got in trouble for saying this because they took it the wrong way. But I sure like the line. He said, you can't put lipstick on a pig because at the end of the day, it's still a doggone pig. Huh? Come on, somebody. Let's keep going. We're talking about why some churches should die and stay dead. So then the writer says this. So that was number one was, let me give y'all number one. Let me drop number one in here. Number one was first create a new identity. Let me give you that because I want y'all to get it. Because see, if I don't put this in here, you know what happens? I got my people who come on here and they just come on just to see what I'm going to say and, you know, to take some of the stuff I'm going to say and run with it and do something crazy. But I'm just going to put this in here. All right. So that's number one. First, create a new identity. Got it. Good. All right. Let's keep going. Number two says this. As soon as I get back to it. Come on now. Number two says this. Number one was create a new identity. Number two says leaving behind some of the old. The writer says this. He says there are reasons the old church died, and they will be associated with the name. He says, to use a common example, if a restaurant had a bad reputation and closes down, it is renamed before it is reopened. They often put up a new sign saying they are indeed a new place. He says, make a point to the community by saying, this church is under new management. A new name will communicate that the new church is different than the old. Now, again, he's talking about replanting, not closing. But if your church is going to take on a new vision, if your church is going to take on a new role, when you're done making all those organizational changes on the inside, when you get ready to go out, people need to know, hey, this ain't the same old place. This ain't the same gym. I remember I was a longtime member of Bally's Health Club. Y'all remember Bally's Health Club here in the Midwest? Bally's? I was a longtime member of Bally's. And when LA Fitness, or as Henderson likes to say, La Fitness, bought them out, they made it known when they came in. Now, I hadn't been to the Bally's. When I was living in LaGrange Park, I used to go to the Bally's in Countryside on LaGrange Road, right? And I loved Bally's. Bally's was always clean. It was nice, well done, all of that good stuff, right? So I hadn't went in a while, and when I decided to start going to the gym again, it had already changed to LA Fitness. And mind you, all I knew was Bally's. Now, and I was happy with Bally's. So when I went into LA Fitness, this looked brand new. It smelled new. It had a different appearance. The people in there, even though some of them were from the old place, had a new attitude. It was very bright in there. It was, you know, it's kind of like the difference between Marshall Field and Macy's. Now, I'm not a fan of Macy's. I love the old Marshall Field, but you can literally tell the difference between the two. For those of you who remember the old Marshall Field store, you can tell the difference between Marshall Field and Macy's. Marshall Field had a sense of elegance to it, right? Had a sense of elegance to it. Macy's has a sense of pop, you know, like, wow. You know, Macy's, I really consider Macy's Target on steroids. Please don't be offended, Macy's, but. but you know, Macy's, you go on Macy's and it's all bright and like, ooh, it's loud. And I'm like, and it's just like, it's a lot. It's a lot going on in there, right? Let me keep going, because I got to try to get done with this. But I'm just trying to say, if you're going to reintroduce yourself to the community, do it in a way so they know it's something different. Amen, amen. So that was that one. Leaving behind some of the old. Leaving behind some of the old. That was number two. Let me drop that in there for you real quick. Number two. Come on. Number two. Come on. There it is. All right. That was number two. Number three, he says, building a new team. Uh-oh. Now, this is where you get in trouble, because this is hard. This is hard because the way some churches are built, you can't come in and build a new team with some churches. With some churches, when you're a new pastor coming in, you in some cases, depending on how it's built, but depending on how their bylaws are set up, you stuck with the team you inherit. It's kind of like a coach. You know, when a basketball coach takes over a new team, a football coach, he can't immediately come in and change the team. Now, he is allowed to change his offense and defensive coordinators, though. He is allowed to change his other coaches. But he can't come in and cut the whole team, because then he won't have nothing. So this is what the writer says. The writer says, building a new team. He says, the church new leadership will also need to communicate and build a core team that resonates with new mission and vision for the church. He says, that may at times mean asking that people who were left over from the former church not be a part of the core team for the new church. Oh, Lord. Whew. The writer says that may seem harsh. So let me put it this way. He says the team that closed the church is not going to be the team that rebirths it. He says people from the old congregation may want to be a part of the new, and they will think they are not part of the old wineskin, but often they are. Oh, my God. He says there may be some time down the road when there can be a healthy reentry of people from the old congregation into the new. But the core team must share the mission and vision that give the new church its identity. A new name on a new sign in front of the building changes nothing. Huh? If all of the same people are doing all of the same things on the inside. The writer says, I should add a brief note about that multi-site changes some things. A new group comes in with a new campus, and their numbers often larger, and those who might have stayed from the old church can change the culture while the former church members remain. But that's what it is. Just because you change pastors and you change the sign and you create a new logo and you go through all this stuff and you get a new website and all of that, if you really want the church to be different, some of the old folk need to change. Maybe that means you need to step aside. Nobody's saying leave the church. Nobody's saying put you out of the church. But maybe you just need to sit aside and let some other people move in and do the work. Maybe you need to step aside. And I'm talking, and that goes for everybody. I don't care if you were a preacher, you were a Sunday school teacher, you nurse, whatever you know, because you have to give room for that new vision to take effect. And a lot of times, if you come into the table with them same old ideas, well, you know, we used to do this, Pastor. Well, you know, I remember when we What you did was great in 1970. It was beautiful in 1980, and it may have been somewhat still effective in 1990. But obviously, in the year 2000, it wasn't working. 2010, it wasn't working. And here we are in 2018, and now you see the results. So, no. Thank you so much for your back down memory lane walk. But that ain't going to work today. So that's good. That's good. I like this. Building a new team. And again, it's not to offend anybody. It's not to say that you're not valuable. But what it is it's simply to give this new regimen, this new regime, rather, this new regime an opportunity to do what they're going to do without any outside interference. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think y'all feel free to comment. I see y'all sitting here. Some of y'all just watching, ain't making no comments, and that's okay. But, you know, feel free to do that. Let me see it. Carol Turner says change is inevitable. It can be for the good or bad, but it is inevitable. Amen. Pastor Gerald Dew, you done popped and snuck on here. Oh, Lord. Amen. Bless you, sir. Felicia Martin says Old Country Buffet versus Hibachi Grill. Really? Is them the same people? Old Country Buffet and Hibachi Grill? Is that the same people? I thought Old Country Buffet was okay. I don't know. Anitra says insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting a different result. Amen. Yeah. Felicia said I don't talk in church. Really? Amen, Felicia. Amen. Do you text in church though? You might not talk, but do you text? Amen. Oh God, let's keep going. Let's keep going. Oh God. Oh man, I really need to finish this. Let me see if I can do this. Hold on 1 second. I need to finish this article because this is good. Let me get through this. Let me do this. Amen. Amen. All right. Hold on one moment. Whew. All right. Let me fix this. All right. We good. All right. So here we go. Did I get that one in there? I built a new team. So the next one is working a timetable. Working a timetable. That's what the writer says. The writer says working a timetable. He says the transition from the death of one church to the birth of the next should be well planned. And again, it should not and cannot happen overnight. For example, I suggest that a replant should not happen immediately after the closure of the old church. He says, let it lay for a while. Take down the sign so it's clear. And then after a time, put up a new sign with a new name. From there, treat it like a church plant that just happens to have some resources, the building and whatever other resources were gifted by the old church. He says, for most replants, I would say 6-month window between the closure of the old and the public opening of the new would be healthy. If there is already a core group in place, if an existing church is sending a core group or an existing church plant is taking over the space, 3 months would be sufficient. During that time, he says, the leadership team should be built, made up of people who are committed to and passionate about starting a church to reach the community. That word community just keep coming up, don't it? Can't ignore it. He says, for about 3 months, home Bible studies can start up in order to build and solidify the core group. Then for the next 3 months, public preview services may begin to take place each month in order to introduce a new church to the community. This downtime is also a perfect opportunity to introduce yourself to your new neighbors. Uh-oh. He says, send mailers and make phone calls and let people know what's coming. Oh, my God. See, this this is, and let me help somebody. This is marketing 101. This is marketing 101. And I know a lot of people don't like to add business to the church, but this is strictly marketing 101. Anytime you're trying to introduce some people to something new, this is where your marketing, this is where your marketing background really helps. This is where you need to have a team of people who understand what marketing and branding really are, right? This is where it's necessary to understand that, because when you do that, then you can say, okay, this is what we're going to do. We've been dormant for this amount of time. Our church has been here, but it's been dormant, but we want to reintroduce this thing this way, right? Thank you, Carol Turner. Carol Turner says that's good kingdom marketing. It is. It is. Because you don't want to piecemeal it. And when I say piecemeal, oh, let's throw this out there. All right, good. Let's throw this out there. All right, good. Now let's do this. You know, you're just constantly throwing stuff out there. That's not marketing. That's just throw it up against the wall and see if it sticks. That ain't marketing. That's not what marketing is. Oh, let's try this. Oh, let's try this. Hey, I got this idea. Hey, let's do that. No, no. I'm talking about sitting down and putting a real strategy together to reintroduce yourself to the community and to your neighbors. Anitra says, the church in many ways has become a business. Yes, Anitra, it has, but it's become a business in the wrong way. It's become a money-making business. And I'm talking about doing it in a way where, see, here's the deal. Think about if we go back to the Bible. If we go back to the Bible for a hot moment. Jesus did the ultimate marketing, right? Everybody that Jesus came in contact with prior to him dying and being resurrected, right? All of the people that he healed, that's how he did his marketing, right? That's how he did his marketing. He would heal these people, and then they would go back. They would go back and tell people, and then they would say what? And like the woman at the well, right? Like, think about it. Now Jesus did some serious conversation with the woman at the well. It wasn't real nice either. It wasn't real nice. We had this conversation. It was kind of, you know, some of y'all would think it was kind of rude. But Jesus' conversation. But then the woman left the well. And then did she not go back and tell the people, come see about a man? Right? She went off and she told about what happened to her and the good things that came from it. Right? So if you're gonna launch something, right? If you're gonna launch this idea of what's to come, I'll give you a very good example. And she's not here anymore. I remember when we had when Daria had joined our show for a while, right? And we put this whole post up about what's to come. Nobody knew what it was, but we put something out there to say there was a major change coming to the show on Fridays, right? That was the post we put out. And everybody was like, ooh, what is it? What is it? What is it? What's going on? What's going on? And it sparked conversation. And people wanted to know what was happening with and what was happening with TTLO. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? Where y'all at? What's happening? What's happening? And we built it up and then we launched it and there it was. Right? And it happened. Now, great. She couldn't stay. Her job changed. Got it. Fine. But what I'm saying is if you're going to launch something, you don't just throw it out there. Right? This is not what you do. It's not. Now, if it's a one-time event, then you do that. You do that. You post it, you're great, you do that. But if it's something that's going to be ongoing, if it's something that's going to be a major part of the DNA of your church or your organization, you don't just throw it out there. You give it some build-up. You know what I'm saying? That's why I so love Reggie Royal and the way they do things at Lifeline. They don't just do stuff, right? They have a team of people that sit down and plan how they're going to do stuff, right? And then you sit around, and I'm sure before they put stuff out, they sit around the table and discuss it with like-minded people, with people who are not afraid to say no and to give an opinion, and then throw that stuff out and say, hey, this is good. Don't just launch this thing. Don't just put that out there without us looking at it and seeing it. Let's talk about it. Anitra says, timing and preparation is everything. Absolutely. There has to be a plan in place. We got some major changes coming to TTLO radio coming soon. But you ain't going to see us just say, hey, y'all, so-and-so coming, and that's going to be it. We added so-and-so, and that's it. No. Trust me. It's going to be a real launch, right? And that's what churches should do. That's what churches should do. Let me get back to the article. Let me make sure I get. Did I give y'all this one about the transition? Working a timetable. Did I drop this in here? Working a timetable. Let me see. Building a new team. No, I did not. Working a timetable. Let me drop that in there. All right. Let's see. Working a timetable. Boom. Come on now. Get in there. All right. All right, working a timetable. Boom. All right. Having too much trouble over here. Okay, next one. Working timetable. So then last one says this. He says, working a timetable. He says, avoid calling people who have left the old church. at least at first. Uh-oh, this is going to rub some folks the wrong way. He says, avoid calling people who have left the old church at least at first. He says, remember, you are starting with a new identity, and folks, especially new folks, need to buy into it. To ensure that sort of buy-in, require membership classes for everyone so the new identity and new DNA is part and parcel of being part of the new church. Wow. See, we got to be quick. We so quick to try and grab the old folks that left. That's our biggest mistake. We so quick to try to grab the old people that left that we make no plan. Come on now. We make no plan on doing nothing. We make no plan. And we got to do a better job of not just trying to grab old folk who used to, well, you know, let's call so-and-so. She used to be a member. And, ooh, remember the lady who had the kids? Y'all remember her? Y'all remember the lady who had? No. Let's not worry about her. Let's rebuild it. Let's get it operational. Let's get it beyond functional. Let's get it from surviving to thriving. And then watch this. The word will get out. And then when they get ready to come back, they'll see, oh, wow, this is different. Because the worst thing you can do is invite old people to come and they'll be like, oh, this is the same old mess. Because you know that's what they're coming in the door looking for. Oh, this is the same old mess. Oh, this is the same old mess. Oh, my God. Let's close it out with this. The writer says this. He says, much more. Replanting might be the right option for dying churches. But the key and maybe the most difficult part in the whole process is separating the new from the old. Ooh, my God. He says, that's certainly not the only issue. And he says, I plan to write more on the other issues. But for now, consider that replanting really means that some churches should die and remain dead. And the new church, not a reboot of the old church, should be started. Man, that's good, y'all. That's good. That's good. Don't just rebuild the old one. Make it new. Make it new. Make it new. I mean, do something new. Do something. Do something different. Don't just get some new tires. Rebuild the engine, huh? Rebuild the whole engine. Rebuild the whole motor, the transmission. Take all that stuff out. Don't just give it a new paint job and the car still won't start. Oh my God. I'm just saying. Oh, my God. Woo. My. All right. So let's do this. And then we're going to get ready to close out. I want to say this and I want to make sure that we understand what this is. I'm not knocking anybody's approach. What I want you to do is think outside the box and be comfortable with recognizing what it means to build something new versus means just giving something a new paint job. Did any of you guys ever used to watch the $6 Million Man back in the day? There was this old, I know I'm dating myself. The show was back on in the, oh my God, I don't know what year it was, but it might've been on in the late 70s and maybe even early 80s for a hot minute. It says, I think it was, yeah, in the late 70s. So some of y'all probably wasn't even born, but it was in the late 70s. It was only on for a few years, but I used to love the show. But at the beginning of the show, the premise of the show was this astronaut, this pilot, his name was Steve Austin. He was a pilot and he crashed his plane. He crashed his aircraft and his body was completely torn up. Both of his legs and his arm and his eye were damaged. And they thought he was going to die. So they had this secret technology that they rebuilt him with. But the reason I'm saying this is because of the words that were used at the beginning of the TV show. This is what he said. This is how the TV show started. It says, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We can make him better than he was. Better, stronger, faster. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic man. That's what they used to say. And church, I'm going to say this to you. We have the same capability. We have the technology and we have the capability to make the world's finest churches. We don't have to. Some of them will have to die, but those that can be rebuilt, we should rebuild. Amen. Let's get out of here. Father God, we thank you so much for the time we spent. Lord, we thank you for everything that you continue to do for us. God, we thank you for this time that we've had today. God, we thank you for the listeners. God, we thank you for all the comments. God, we thank you for all of these people that are just simply amazing. God, we thank you for all the watchers on Ustream, the watchers on Facebook, God, and the watchers on Instagram. God, we thank you for all the listeners on Blog Talk Radio right now. God, those listening via Blog Talk and those listening via their mobile devices. God, we're just so grateful to have them and be in your presence. God, we thank you for the time we spent today. We welcome you into our hearts, God, and we ask that you would continue to bless us as we go our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, y'all, this has been absolutely wonderful today. I appreciate y'all sticking around. I know we had some technical difficulties, but y'all have just blessed me today. Y'all have been a complete blessing to me today. It has been absolutely amazing. We have had a good time. Look, y'all, we will be back on Friday. This is going to be good. If you still want to email the show, here's the deal. You all are welcome. I know some people will watch this later. A lot of y'all watch the replays, and I read the comments that come in afterwards. I do. So feel free to do that. I read the comments. If you want to email the show, you want to put something in email that you didn't want to put in so everybody could see, email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, or you can message the show via Facebook, the Taking the Limits Off Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO radio. Those messages, they do come directly to us. This was some good stuff today, man, and I hope y'all got some out of it. I really do appreciate y'all. Y'all are fun. Y'all make this show. Y'all, I'm telling y'all right now, this y'all make this fun to do. Y'all make this fun to do. Y'all really do. And we only want to try to get better for you all. We only want to try to get better for you all. We really only want to try to get better for you all and to give God the glory. To give God the glory first, but to get better for you all in the process. Amen. So look, y'all, I got to go. It's been wonderful. It's been real. But I had to go. I got to get out of here. Got some stuff I got to go do. Y'all stay blessed, man. And we will see y'all on Friday. Y'all be good. TTLO. We out of here.
We picking up the cross and taking the limits off. Taking the limits off. Taking the limits off. Do it for God, the boss. Taking the limits off. Taking the limits off. Taking the limits off. We picking up the cross. Us in the dark, so we need light. Let's talk about his word to gain insight. Too many of us lost, though we go to church, following traditions that no longer work. Steady passing them along as if they carry worth. Christ died for our freedom, but we still hurt. Lack of knowledge got us bonded by tradition's curse. Hopefully we last, but we ain't the first. Then we judge to make matters worse. Don't hold a grudge, cause I'm in church with a wrinkled shirt.
Picking up the cross and